Al primero de mayo.
Hello and welcome to the Pick a Pod Podcast. I am your host, Sam Dusenberry Jr. Follow me on Twitter at the Sam D, that's THEESAMD. SoundCloud.com/shillfreesports is one way to get the program. Search Pick and Pop on iTunes. Search Pick and Pop Podcast. That's Pick N, the letter N, no and. Pick N Pop Podcast. If you do end up on Twitter and you do follow me at TheSamD, use the hashtag Pick and Pop. You'll be able to track when all the latest new episodes are dropping and be able to go back and check out some of the prior episodes. Newly, starting with this episode, the Pick and Pop Podcast is now available on Google Play and Stitcher Radio. So we're trying to cover all the markets of where you can get the podcast. You can get it on iTunes. You can get it on SoundCloud. You can get it on Google Play now. You can get it on Stitcher Radio now. The more outlets, the more your boy gets out there, the more your boy gets out there, the more the virus grows. The more the virus grows, the more your boy might be out here in a major way. Shillfreesports.com, still under renovation, still working some things out, although we do have one piece of content that I will be plugging today that is still currently available on shillfreesports.com. We'll get to that in a second. Shout out to May First, who does the intro, the outro. Support him, soundcloud.com/MayFirstMusic. So today is Sunday. It is Sunday evening. And you're probably wondering, why are you getting a podcast on a Sunday evening? You're getting a podcast on a Sunday evening because something that's been lo and behold to my heart has went down tonight. Something that I have, in a roundabout way, become known for or have been synonymous with has went down tonight. And it's that team out in LA. That team that had the racist owner with the racist wife as a co-owner who still got seats, still has cachet in the building. So Sterling's gone. But Sterling's ex-wife still got seats, still got a lot of stroke in that building. And she was a big part of the whole Sterling housing discrimination thing out there in Chi-Town and other markets. So, but suffice to say, I've become synonymous with the Clippers. If you know me and you know this program, you've been following along back when, you know, whether it's been the Pick and Pop days or back before when I was on FanDuel and I was doing the Layup Line, a very successful podcast, I might add. Or if you even go way back to when I was doing Dog Pound Sports, you know that the Clippers are a team that I loathe. The Clippers are a team that I constantly tear down because I saw through all the nonsense. I saw through all the rebranding that they tried to do to try to not make themselves the Clippers. When in the end, led by a Hall of Fame point guard, and he is one. He's a Hall of Famer. He's compiled enough stats to warrant it. Although, we'll break down some of those stats. And maybe I'll throw a little couple jabs in there as to why maybe we shouldn't make it such an automatic first ballot thing for him. But yes, I'm talking about the Los Angeles Frauds who play at the Fraud Center, who are led by the point fraud who are missing the Kia jumper, and he still got DeAndre. They lose at the crib to the Utah Jazz. They lost at the crib in 7 to the Utah Jazz. Rudy Gobert fouled out only played 13 minutes. And they got blowed out at the crib. They got out-rebounded at the crib. DeAndre Jordan, who seemingly the whole entire roster held hostage in his own crib, out there in Dallas when he tried to skate on them for the Mavericks. And your man's Mark Cuban's driving around neighborhoods in Dallas trying to get a phone number for DeAndre. Because DeAndre ain't picking up because the point fraud and IKEA jumper got him locked in his own crib because they're begging him to come back to LA. The point fraud's telling DeAndre, if you come back, we're going to focus more on your offensive game. I'm going to include you more in the offense. What exactly have they done to do so? Throw him more lobs. That's literally it. All he's done is gotten more lobs. And now everybody, the whole league knows he's a trash free throw shooter, so now it's the Hacker Jordan. The only advancement Chris Paul has provided. Sorry. And I did not mean to say that. Sorry. The only thing the point fraud. Yes, because saying the name feels like I'm saying an expletive. It pains me. It comes off so easily, but it pains me to say it. Because I do carry a reputation. So I'm sorry. I apologize to those who heard that name. Because they expect another name, which is the point fraud. So the only thing that the point fraud has done to enhance the career of DeAndre Jordan is to do every goddamn commercial he can to get his Q rating up. That's it. DeAndre's out here in State Farm commercials. He's out here in all the NBA branded commercials with Chris Paul. Oh. The point fraud. I'm sorry. If you know me off mic, you know how easily expletives can flow out of me. So again, I apologize for using that name. That name is not a name that I want associated with me. But it comes out so freely. But it still pains me to say it. The point fraud. Point fraud. Say it with me. Point fraud. Point fraud. That's who he is. The point fraud. We'll move off DeAndre. Because look, if you look at the stat shot, the stat sheet, DeAndre had a monster game. 24 points, 17 rebounds, right? So you're looking at that like, well, how could it be DeAndre? He can't be the problem. He can't be a fraud. Well, it was a minus 16. The frauds were a minus 16 when he was on the court. And the point fraud, first ballot Hall of Fame point fraud, 40 minutes, 6 of 19, 1 of 7 from 3. 9 assists. So you're going to throw that in my face. Yeah, 9 assists though, man. How could it be a point fraud? He's giving a 9 assist in a game 7. How can he be a point fraud? Well, it's quite simple. So if a point fraud has 9 assists, 13 points, you want to chalk that up to a bad shooting night? Sure, I'll let you slide with that. 6 of 19, 1 for 7 from 3, 13 points. Rough shooting night, Sam. Can't kill the point fraud. Okay, well, how about this? Point fraud to some is a top 5 all-time point guard. The point fraud to some is a top 20 all-time player. If that's the case, if the point fraud is in that such of a high ranking, then how is he a minus 10? How are the frauds a minus 10 when this top 20 player all-time, top 5 point guard, all time, how are they minus 10 when he's on the court? In a game 7, at the crib, minus 10. And you know who was given the point fraud, top 5 point guard, top 20 all time? You know who was giving him that work? In game 7, At his crib, George Hill. George Hill, 21 points. Sorry, 17 points. On 7 of 13 shooting. 5 assists. 4 rebounds. Only 2 turnovers. But that 21 number I mentioned, I was looking at the wrong column. The Jazz were plus 21 when George Hill was on the court. So the point fraud gets sliced and diced by George Hill on pick and roll after pick and roll. But he's still top 5 point guard of all time and top 20, maybe all time, and a surefire first ballot Hall of Fame, right? This is the guy in the point fraud who, you know what, I'll post this out there. I'll even give y'all a second to really think hard. Now, the point fraud, he just wrapped up his 12th season. 12 seasons for the point fraud. An illustrious 12th season, some would say. Prototype for the point guard position, some would say. A leader of men. Goes into the union meetings and has, you know, when the lockout, he was a big proponent. He was one of the faces of the players in the meetings with the league. You want to know how many times that guy has averaged over 20 points? Again, 12 years, 12 seasons. Guess how many times the point fraud has averaged over 20 points? I want everybody to make a peace sign. Go ahead and make a peace sign. I'll wait. You know, you're holding up that peace sign. Your middle finger and your pointer finger. Make up the peace sign. As your other three fingers are tucked in. So that means two fingers are up, right? Right. That's how many times the point fraud has averaged 20 points. 2 out of 12. Now, yes, he's got gaudy assist numbers. He's even got gaudy steal numbers. But if I use those same gaudy steal numbers to tear down the likes of Steph Curry, then I have to do the same thing for the likes of the point fraud. I don't hold a lot of credence in steals per game. A lot of people now are jumping on John Wall, tearing him down defensively for the way that he has a bunch of steals, and is always one of the league leaders in steals because he plays the passing lane so well, and especially off the weak side help stripping big dudes in the paint. So if we're going to kill John Wall, if we're going to kill Steph for having gaudy steal numbers and not having that equate to actually being good on defense, then he's got to do the same for the point fraud. I mean, he's led the league in steals six times. Got to throw it out. He's led the league in assists 4 times. Gaudy numbers. A lot of alley-oops. Whether it was to Tyson Chandler when he was with the Hornets. Or DeAndre and Nikia jumper for the last few years with the Frauds. You wouldn't know how many times the point fraud has shot over 50% for the floor in his illustrious first ballot Hall of Fame career. Now take that peace sign that you still got up. Take down your pointer finger and now turn your hand. You should only have one finger up, and it's the middle finger. That's how many times the point fraud has shot over 50% from the floor in his 12 seasons. And that middle finger that's hanging up is what we put up to the critics. It's what we put up to the media experts, what we put up to the analytic kids, basically the basketball pundits who keep trying to shove the point fraud down not only my throat, but your throats as well. I'm tired of it. He's a fraud. If today wasn't the nail in the coffin, I don't know what else you need to see. There's no other way to sway you besides the last 4 or 5 years of which, you know, SportsCenter had the stat I had to jump all over it and make sure I had that ready for this latest edition of the Pick a Pop Podcast. And let me make sure I got it, and I will pull this up. Okay, so SportsCenter tweeted this out no more than 10 minutes after the game. So you know they were sitting on this stat waiting. The Clippers, the frauds, are the first team in NBA history to blow a series lead in 5 straight postseasons. Now we go back to 2013 against the Grizzlies. They had a 2-0 lead. They lost. 2014, they got their first win against the Thunder. They ended up blowing that series. 2015, the most egregious one. They were up 3-1 on the Rockets. Blew it. And that was to Dwight and James Harden Rockets. The Rockets team that people like to forget. The Rockets team that went to the Western Conference Finals. They were up 3-1, the frauds were. Blew it. And last year, against the Trailblazers, 2-0 lead. Blew it. And now this year, they were up 2-1. Lost in 7 to the Utah Jazz. So how much more times do you need to see this? How many more times do you need to see the point fraud fail in the clutch? How many? I mean, look. It's become a sexy thing to co-act the point fraud now. It's become a popular thing. You could go search his name on Twitter. Not point fraud, unless you just want to see my tweets. But if you want to see the guy who I call point fraud, if you want to use his government name and search his name out, lots of popular people now jumping on the bandwagon. Not only am I driving that bandwagon, I built that bandwagon. I did that. Go back. I referenced in the lead in the intro, showfreesports.com, a column from 2015. Lob City's Trash, February 2015. Think about that. So now again, everybody's jumping on now. Everybody's ready now. So this is just after the Grizzlies failure and the Thunder failure. We hadn't even gotten to them losing to Dwight and James Howard in 2015 and blowing a 3-1 lead. In February 2015, I said it's a wrap. And they've gone on to blow leads in 3 more series after I said that they were trash. Give it up for your boy here. I mean, I don't like to claim to be a prophet. You know, I do like to claim to be a black unicorn. And that goes for a lot of things so I won't discuss on this podcast. But when it comes down to seeing this game, knowing this game, it's the eye test. It's taking the time to go back and rewatch footage, comparing and contrasting against like-minded teams, like-minded players, going to pro games, watching the speed of it, gauging the sense of it, putting yourself in that position, playing the game yourself. You don't have to play the game at the highest level to know what good ball is. You don't have to be a former NBA player to be able to dissect teams and dissect plays. You don't have to have any of that. If you take the time and you do it, you can learn it and pick up on it. I've done that. They say it takes 10,000 hours to master a craft. I've never logged my hours to know how many I've done. But if it's 10,000 to master something, if I've done anything in my life for 10,000 hours, it's probably something to do with the game of basketball. So in the post game with the frauds, you get all the usual sound. Doc Rivers, you know, Doc's the GM. He put this team together. You know, the core was there, but he came in and was supposed to be the finishing touch. He was supposed to put the polish on this big three and take them to the promised land, and they haven't even touched the Western Conference final. Now, granted, they've run, as I've mentioned on the last Picket podcast, they've run into the buzzsaw that was the Warriors, which a lot of us did not expect at all. You expect the Spurs to be there, because they're always there. But then you had the run that the Warriors made up. Then you had the Rockets putting Dwight and James together for a couple years, and that being productive at least that first year, with them getting to the Western Conference Finals and coming back from a 1-3 deficit to defeat the Frauds. The Kia jumper, DeAndre, and the point fraud was supposed to lead this week's Western Conference for a few years. They were supposed to be the creme de la creme, top shelf of the Western Conference, and they've never been that. And that has to fall on somebody. And a lot of people like to put it on Doc, and certainly Doc has made the best acquisition Doc Rivers has made is signing his son, albeit at an overbloated contract, but with the CBA, that contract's not going to look that bad in 2-3 years. But with all the years he's been there, the best acquisition he's made is signing his own son. But when you take the measurements of the point fraud and you compare him, the way that people have been comparing him to the greats of all time of this game, he's got to be able to do more. If you know the Kia jumper is injury prone and you know that DeAndre can't shoot free throws, he can't shoot anything outside the paint, maybe even outside 8 feet, even within the paint, he can't shoot anything outside of that. Then you got to do more than give me 18, 19 a game. I need more than that. Yeah, you can compile. Like I said, he's a compiler. His stats look great. He does a couple of highlight moves every year that kind of takes your breath away, or at least is a fancy highlight. But when you watch him repeatedly, game in, game out, I never have the feeling that guy is the leader of a champion. That guy is at best the third best player on a championship team. Third best. Like, what team can you put him on that's not the Frauds, but he would be the best player on the team and they win a championship? What young team is a point guard away? You want to say Milwaukee? You put the point fraud with Giannis and let's see what happened. They'll have some great highlights. Like I said, he could throw a great lob. He might be the best lob thrower of all time. I don't know if that means he should be first ballot Hall of Fame. That's the one thing that he's exceptional at, is throwing that lob off the pick and roll. So what else? I mean, what other asset of the game is he top five all time at? I mean, I'll save this for the offseason, because I don't want this to turn into a Mount Rushmore type of deal, because, you know, look, this is the second round of playoffs now. Now that this is over, now we officially got all the rest of the second round matchups. So I definitely want to jump a little bit into that. But the majority of this pod is going to be on the Frauds. You know, I'm watching this game and I'm getting texts from people saying, yo, they really are frauds. I'm like, hello? I've been here. I've been telling you to come on through to the crib. Come through to the fraud crib. I got you. I got all the hospitality in the world. I got you. They are the frauds. That's the next animated short or the next little viral, you know, animation thing that they should put together, is one detailing all the failures of the frauds. And if somebody doesn't, it doesn't include me, and I'll be very upset, so don't steal my idea. That was just off the top. That's what needs to happen. Get the point fraud, get the Kia jumper, get DeAndre, get Doc in the raspy voice, and let's like just put this in animation and let's detail all the failures. Because they've had 5 straight postseasons of failure. And then nobody knows what the hell's going to happen in the offseason. Blake's got a bad toe now. Is he going to be like Shaq and this going to hinder him the rest of his career? He's known for being the Kia jumper. Kia jumper can't jump without no toe. And his turf toe, or a variation of it, derailed Shaq's career. Derailed it. Made Deion Sanders retire because of turf toe. And again, this is a variation of it. So is the Kia jumper going to be back and healthy? It remains to be seen. You can't count on that. You can't call that automatic. And then what are you going to do with the point fraud? You got to bring it back. You got to bring it back. Because to improve this team, they need to get the Kia jumper up out of there. So you can't have the Kia jumper and the point fraud gone. Can't. Because you ain't winning nothing building no team around DeAndre. I mean, then it really would be how like the Dallas Mavericks were going to be if they were able to, you know, get him to stick to his word and agree to the contract that he signed. It's amazing. It really is amazing. The point fraud is going to stay, re-sign, probably get like a $200 million contract. And he's a fraud at his position. They're going to have to flip the Kia jumper for something. Because where else can you improve this team? Yeah, I think I spoke about in the last podcast. Where's the wiggle room to improve the team? Blake's the only chip you got that is a worthwhile piece. And is still relatively young enough to be able to get a decent haul back. But even then, like has been discussed, if you're able to flip the Kia jumper for Melo, whether it's involving a third party or, you know, a third team or whatever, however you figure it out, if you get Melo to the frauds, is that enough? No. Especially not in the West. The team would be roughly the same, if not a little bit worse, because Melo's doesn't have the advantage at his position that the Kia jumper has when he's playing right. So even if they bring in Melo, does that mean they're going to be better? Probably not. So then if you stick with the Kia jumper, you bring the whole squad back, yeah, you're losing Paul Pierce. J.J. Redick is a free agent, so you could probably let him go. You're stuck with Austin Rivers, so that means now Austin Rivers is now your starting two guard. And Jamal Crawford, how many more years can you fully depend on him and still pay him at a relatively, you know, market value contract? You're never in the lottery because you're always in the playoffs, you know, blowing leads, so you can't improve in the draft. What do you do? Do you flip DeAndre? And what team's going to give up something good, young, and inexpensive for a guy who can't score without dunking, can't shoot free throws? Pretty solid defensively. I'll give him that. Solid defensively. But we're not sure what else he can do to earn that max contract. So who would take on DeAndre's contract and give up something of value? Real value, real rebuilding on the fly, tinkering with our core value. Who's going to do that? So again, the frauds are in trouble. I mean, I said it February 2015, you know, Lob City's trash. ShowFreeSports.com. It's available. Just go there, ShowFreeSports.com, go to columns, or go right there to the search bar, Live City's Trash. Anytime the frauds get eliminated, I retweet that article. It still holds weight. It's still true. Nothing I said in that piece has been found to be inaccurate. That's why it's called Show Free. There's no bias in my opinion. You can call me a hater, but if the hate is the truth, then call me a hater. That's all I did when I spoke That Lobster City is trash. I got a whole bunch of dudes out in Jersey and Philly calling the point fraud now. They know what's up. Took them a minute. Some of them are still hanging on to thinking that this guy is better than what I say he is. But, you know, 5 straight postseasons, blown leads. 5 straight. So we're about, you know, half an hour in. And we haven't even talked about how good the Jazz were. And that's the unfortunate part. That the frauds go down, the frauds are the main story. Because they're a big market. They have an owner who gets way too much TV time. Can we stop showing Steve Ballmer? Can we stop it now? Since he's gotten the team, they've blown, I think this is his 3rd year. Or maybe, let me see, 4th year. He was definitely there the year they lost 3-1 to the Rockets. I think the Sterling thing might have been 2014. So that's 4 straight postseasons this team has blown a lead. That's 4 straight seasons this team has not sniffed the Western Conference Finals. Can we stop showing Steve Ballmer? I don't care how much convulsions and foam come out the corner of his mouth. I don't care how much of that's going on after a bucket. Can we stop showing that? Please. Needs to stop. Over-enthusiastic NBA guy, don't need to see it. And truth be told, who knows if he's really an NBA guy. He's just hype just because he's hype. He's a billionaire. I would be hype if I was a billionaire. Amazing. But like I said, we're not talking about the Jazz. Gordon Hayward dropped 40. Dropped 30. And then in the game 7, let me make sure I have my numbers right here. And in the game 7, 26 and 8. Shot 9 of 20 from the floor, so almost 50%. 2 of 3 from 3. Hit all of his free throws. Only 2 turnovers. And the Jazz were plus 13, but he was on the floor and he played 42 and a half minutes. So in the game 7, your best player had to show out. And some people were starting to maybe wonder if Gobert was the Jazz best player. Asinine. Completely asinine. Gordon Hayward's the alpha dog of that team. 26 and 8. Couple dimes. Perfect from the free throw line. Efficient from 3. Almost 50% from the floor. Blowing them out. On the road. Huge coming out series for Gordon Hayward. I mean, Joe Ingles gave you double figures. I mean, look, they had 1, 2, 3. Dog, they had 7 dudes in double figures. 7 dudes. Derek Favors, 17 and 11. Sorry, my bad. New Jersey / Brooklyn Net legend. Derek Favors, 17 and 11. The majority of that because of Gobert's foul trouble. And again, Gobert, 1 point, 6 fouls, 4 rebounds, 13 and a half minutes. And they still blew him out at the fraud center. ISO Joe, ugly at times today, 4 of 13. But 7 boards, 5 assists. Rodney Hood, 11 off the bench. 7 dudes in double figures on the road in a game 7. I don't know how many times that's happened, but I don't think that's happened a lot. That's something you got to go to the, you know, the sports nerds, the Elias, you know, have them look it up. Because I can't remember the last time 7 dudes have scored double figures on the road. And now they got the Dubs. And the Dubs are going to take care of them. I would be shocked if this went more than 5 games. And that's the unfortunate part. The Jazz go out here. They win 3 times in LA. 3 times at the Fraud Center. and their reward for that is having to go to Oracle. That's unfortunate. This was their finals. This game 7 was like winning the championship because, look, they caught a big break with the Kia jumper being out. There's no way I cannot skate over that. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, Rudy got hurt. Who's a huge part. The second best player. Best player. Not important. Not second most important. I think second most important is Joe Johnson off the bench, the veteran leadership, ISO Joe, giving him the ball in the clutch, all that stuff. But the second best player on this Utah Jazz team is Rudy. So he lost him for a couple games, and they still were hanging around in this series, even though they were down 2-1 at one point. But they meet the buzzsaw that is the Golden State Warriors. 5 games, if they can push this to 6, if they could get 2 wins off the Dubs, I think that would be a championship in itself for the Utah Jazz. Earlier today, Boston took care of business at Game 1. They beat the Wizards in the first game of that second round series, 123-111. Like, it was all about that third quarter. Third quarter, though, the Wizards had, a 6-point lead at the half. Let me see if I can do quick math here. Yeah, they had a 5-point lead going into halftime. And then they came out and got outscored 36-16. So you basically, you know, gave up. I mean, they were up 5 going into the half. Going into the fourth quarter, they were down 15. That's not good. So Isaiah was Isaiah. Al Horford almost had a triple-double. Jay Crowder's hitting his threes, looking like Gordon Hayward. Yeah, I know about the backstory of when the Jazz played Boston earlier this year, because Gordon Hayward's going to be a free agent. The Boston fans love guys like Gordon Hayward. Take that for what you will. So they were cheering for Gordon Hayward while he was going off on the Celtics, and Jay Crowder got upset because basically Gordon Hayward plays the same position as Jay Crowder. So Jay Crowder ain't stupid. They're cheering for him. They're cheering for Gordon Hayward because they want him to sign with Boston in the offseason. Jay Crowder not a happy man. So that's where that goes from. So yeah, Jay Crowder out there shooting threes efficiently, looking like Gordon Hayward in Boston. I see that series going 6. As much flash as Washington shows, I just don't trust him, man. I don't trust him. I do not trust him. In a series that boasts the backcourt of the three-headed monster that is Boston, with Isaiah, Avery Bradley, and Marcus Smart, you would think the backcourt of Wall and Beal would be able to just run right over that, size-wise, skill-wise. But for some reason, I don't know. Something about that series does not rub me the right way for me to lean for Washington. So I think Boston, who was for dead after Game 2 against Chicago, has now run off 5 straight. 5 straight wins for the Celtics. Now tomorrow night we got Toronto and Cleveland. Toronto took care of business in 6. Cleveland's been chilling for like a week. This has the chance for it to be a letdown game, or, you know, the whole adage of stealing game one, stealing home court advantage for Toronto, still winning Cleveland. It really doesn't matter. I don't see Toronto pushing this any more than 6 if they get that far. The layoff, they might be able to sneak one in Cleveland and might maybe get another one in Toronto. But they're not beating LeBron. They are not beating LeBron 4 times. I don't think anybody in the East can. I certainly don't think the team that relies on the mid-range jump shot ability of DeMar DeRozan is going to be able to use that to beat LeBron James 4 times. And then you got Houston, San Antonio. You know, Houston coming off an impressive series win over OKC, although Harden, we're not sure what's good with that ankle. He didn't look Harden-esque after about game three of that series against OKC. And then San Antonio, taking care of business, did not want to push to a seventh game against the Grizzlies. They got the Grizzlies up out the paint. Although, you know, don't worry about Coach Fizdale for the Grizzlies. He may not won on the court in this series, but if you see what he's coming home to, he's winning off the court. Shout out to Mrs. Fizdale. So yeah, Houston, San Antonio. I don't know what you can expect in this series. It's easy to say it's Kawhi versus Harden, but I think it's more what other role player is going to do. What Tony Parker are we going to get? We're going to get the Tony Parker from the last 2-3 games of the Grizzlies series, or the one from the regular season that looked really old and slow? You know, I don't know. And for Houston, you know, their role players were okay, but they weren't fluid. They weren't the machines that they seemed to be at times at various points throughout the regular season. Can they withstand Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon having a bad game in the same game? Can they withstand that? Is Pat Bev going to keep balling the way he is? How much is he going to rough up Tony Parker and Patty Mills? Patty Mills, you know what? I know one thing. Patty Mills might throw hands. He would throw hands. Don't sleep on Black Australians. Don't sleep. They got kangaroos and koalas and all that. So don't sleep. Don't sleep on Australians. And damn sure don't sleep on Black Australians. But that series is system versus fundamentals, right? Like it's somewhat system versus fundamentals, because the system is D'Antoni and the Rockets. 7 seconds or less, or at least this latest incarnation of it. We have Harden being the point everything. Scoring, rebounding, passing, everything. And they got the old adage of the Spurs system. The fundamentals. Pass to the open man. Beautiful basketball. The pundits drool when the Spurs make the extra pass. But you know what they do when they need a bucket? They go box the one with Kawhi. Which is basically, if for those who don't know, ISO Joe. They go ISO Kawhi. Give the ball the top of the key to Kawhi. And everybody else go play in the four corners. And let's see what Kawhi can do. That's what they do when they need a bucket. So for all the talk of passing to the open man, extra pass, beautiful basketball, spacing, yada, yada, yada. Spurs down 2. And need a bucket, they're not worried about making the extra pass. They're thinking, give it to Kawhi and get the hell out the way. That's basketball. Mano a mano. You need a bucket, take your best player, take us home. That's what good teams do. All this talk about the triangle and Phil Jackson and whether or not it's a real system that worked. The triangle was a foundation more for the role players than the star players. It sounds revisionist to be like, well, Michael Jordan learned to play within the triangle. You know how many times they ran ISOs for Jordan when it was time to get buckets? The landmark highlights, the game winners of Jordan's career. Think about them off top. The shot against the Jazz to clinch the sixth championship. That wasn't no damn triangle. Jordan ISO. The Jordan ISO against Craig Elo before he even won a championship. That was off an inbounds play. Phil wasn't even, I think it was an assistant coach for Doug Collins at that time. You know, all the shots, even the passes, when Jordan hit Kerr for that little running jump shot, That wasn't out of a triangle. The Paxton 3 against Phoenix in 93. That wasn't out of a triangle. But when Jordan went off the floor, it gave the role players, the second team, something to run. Some sort of organization where everybody knew their role. Instead of having a bunch of dudes come off the bench going nuts, going for theirs, just trying to get buckets. Everybody had a role. Everybody knew what the movements were, what the plays were to run on that second team. Same thing with the Lakers. More so when it was the Kobe-led Lakers, not when it was Kobe and Shaq. When it was the Kobe and Shaq thing, the triangle benefits, low post players, Shaq, everybody was barbecue chicken for Shaq then. But when it was Kobe and Gasol and Bynum, man. Now granted, they won two championships by it, and Phil was a coach, and Tex Winters was still hanging around, the architect of the triangle. But man, when it came down to it, Kobe went Kobe. Kobe ain't give a damn about that triangle if the Lakers were down in the closing seconds. It was ISO Kobe. So is this going to be a true system of Harden being point everything? Versus the Spurs fighting the open man? Or basically, who's going to be better at taking their player off the dribble one-on-one, Harden or Kawhi? That's what it's going to come down to. My opinion. I think all the talk of D'Antoni versus Popovich is a little overblown. It comes down to who's going to be the bigger beast and the more effective beast and the more involved beast in getting their teammates some love on the court. You know, for those who don't know, giving somebody some love on the court is slang for giving me buckets. You know, for me, when I was coming up, I had two phases of my ball playing career. When I first came in, I was a defender, rebounder, you know, like a utility player. Wasn't really that much of a scorer. Didn't really know how to shoot that well yet. I try to fill in the box sheet every other way possible. I'm going to hit the glass. I'm going to try to give you a couple of passes. I'm going to try to spread the ball around. I would have been perfect for the Spurs. Perfect. But when I got older, teenage Sam D, then the Jimmy got wet. And that's when I was putting it up. You couldn't tell me nothing. My shot was Jimmy. They named it Jimmy after me. That's the way my mental was. They called me Launchpad because I'm launching it from way out. 30 footers. I was like Steph out there. Real shit. I was like Steph out there. My range. Lit. Talk to him. May 1st. Who does the beat? He was out there. He saw the range. He could testify. Was out here. Your boy was out here. Launchpad. Long live Launchpad. But that part of my game was when I looked to score. And I wanted my teammates to show me the love. Like, yo, respect my Jimmy out here. Pass the rock. I passed the rock years before when I was not that good and still learning my role and improving my game. Now that my game is improved, show me the love, pass the rock. So who's going to be more likely to share the love? Will it be Harden? Will it be the beard? Or will it be Kawhi? Will he have enough pieces around him who want to spread the love? Will Danny Green be making buckets? Will Tony Parker turn back the clock? Can Aldridge be a factor? All that remains to be seen. I think Houston takes this series. I think they take this series in six. I think the Spurs have home court. Have to respect that. But I think when it comes down to it, Harden is determined. They've got enough shooters to get past this round. And I still want Golden State, Houston, and the Western Conference Finals. That's what I need to see before we get Cavs Warriors Part 3. And that will do it. My name is Sam Dusenberry Jr. You are listening to the Pick a Pop Podcast. Follow me on Twitter at TheSamD, that's TheSamD, hashtag PickAPop, to discover new episodes. SoundCloud, check. Google Play, check. Stitcher, check. iTunes, check. All now home of the PickAPop podcast. So whether you got Apple, whether you got an iPhone, whether you got an Android, whatever you got, I have a way for you to listen to this program. No more excuses. I heard excuses. Oh, I don't got an iPhone. I don't got iTunes. Oh, I can't download on SoundCloud. I can only stream. All right. You got Stitcher. You got Google Play. No more excuses. Holla at your boy. Search the Pick and Pop podcast. All right. Round two. Off to a great start. And goodbye to the frauds. Kia Jumper. DeAndre. Coach Rivers. And the Point Fraud. Deuces!